Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
We start a new message series today, so I have two very important statements to make before we dive into the Word of God. God gave us shins so we could find the RV trailer hitch in the dark. All right. RVers don't have lawn decorations. They have mobile gnomes. Anybody? That was a dud. All right, moving on. Okay, I tried. We are talking about RVs, and I'm going to try and, there's an upside-down RV here that I'll show you in a minute. It is the most pathetic thing I have ever drawn in my life, so we're just going to celebrate the non-artists in the house, but it's an RV, all right? And our sermon series this month is called Everyday Revival, and the image for it is an RV. So my question is, how many have ever done something with an RV in your life? All right. Any road, like across the country? Anybody? Was it fun? All right. Anybody deal with claustrophobicness? Just me, okay, a couple of us. RVs are not for us, I don't think. But there's some pretty amazing RVs, and I don't know if anyone's on social media or anything. Has anyone seen like really fancy overhauls of RVs? There's usually this lady, and she like walks in, and it looks like the RV's stuck in like the 20s, and she's like, we're gonna rip everything out, and it's gonna be the most luxurious RV, and then we're always gonna wanna live in it, right? The problem is if you follow those accounts for about a year later, they're like, we're going to buy a house now, and we're going to kind of spread out a little bit, right? And so RV living is usually not totally long-lasting, but we're going to talk about how we are like an RV, all right? So just hang with me here. This year's vision at Thrive is to see thriving homes transform cities. And last month, we talked about how our hearts are God's home on earth. So we talked about how a thriving home is an abiding home, is a praying home, is a serving home, is a whole home, right? And that's a W whole home, not a H-O-L-E whole home, all right? Pastor Kayla brought a powerful word last week? Wow, long week in a good way. All right, so this month we're going to unpack more about what it means to be a thriving home, and our message is called Everyday Revival. We're going to look at five practical ways to live out everyday revival in our daily lives, no matter your age or season or background. So my question is, what does the word revival mean to you? All right? And it depends, I'm guessing, on maybe how long you've known God, where you've lived in our country or the world. The first thing, if you Google revival, I got new production of old play. Chicago is the longest running Broadway revival. Bet that's not what you thought of when I asked for revival every day, right? But apparently revival isn't a Christianese word, I guess. I guess it's a broader term. So that's good to be mindful of. But probably most of us thought of the word revival and heard tent meetings, right? Anybody hear a tent meeting? How about a really long meeting? Any children grow up during revival? How about sleeping on pews, right? That was me when I was a child. Revival meetings meant very long meetings and sleeping in the back, right? How about hours of worship, right? A lot of revivals are known for their worship. Very radical people, maybe in a very different kind of way. You're like, what's going on there, right? Very radical people. How about nightly meetings, right? Anyone sign up for that, right? It's like, we're going to do church every day for the rest of our lives, right? All right, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with not doing it. There's a lot of different flavors out there, right? How many have ever prayed for revival, though? Anybody prayed for revival? All right. And yes, I'm raising my hand a lot. You don't have to. It's just one way I like to engage with you guys. But how many have prayed for revival, gotten done praying, and then wondered, what did I actually just pray for? Right? Anybody? It's like, wait a minute, what was I praying for there? And maybe you know the song, Revival's in the Air, Catch It If You Can. Anybody know that song? I don't remember who wrote it, and I'm sure they're phenomenal worship leaders, but the first time I heard that, I was like, revival's in the air, catch it if you can. What? Wait, what? how is it in the air and what am I catching? Like, is this a good catch? Is it a baseball catch? Is it like contagious in a good way? Revival's in the air, catch it if you can. How about the song, "Oh Lord, send a revival and let it begin with me," right? Both of these are beautiful songs, but then I'm like, wait a minute. Am I supposed to be starting tent revivals? Like, what are we actually saying, right? And I love worship songs, but I encourage you, if there's ever something in a worship song and you're like, but what is this actually saying? What am I saying? I encourage you to look up the word, or you can talk to Pastor Brian, figure out, what is this song? What is the scripture that goes with the song? Because we don't want to just be saying mindless words, right? We want to be saying prayers and based on scripture. Historically, we have some amazing revivals on the East Coast. We've got Charles Finney and the revival in Rochester, where approximately 100,000 people were saved. For perspective, there are 100,000 people in Tompkins County. Our entire county gets saved. That's a good day. That's revivals in the air. I'll catch it if I can, right? All right. How about at a Yale student revival in 1802, one-third of the students at Yale received salvation. There are a couple other Yale revivals, when you really start looking it up, actually, that are phenomenal as well. But let's bring it home. Our church here, if you didn't know, was planted by Australian revivalists, right? So our church was actually birthed out of a heart for revival. And at the beginning, it looked a couple different ways, but we were a church that actually had a lot of meetings. We had a lot of moves of God. We saw healings. We've seen cancer healed in this place. We've seen salvations. We've seen lives restored that had no business being restored. How about that's you and me, right? That's revival. And what can happen, unfortunately, when a revival starts happening, like I described, is we start looking at the fruit and the manifestations of God instead of looking at the reviver, right? Every revival must have a reviver. Amen. And when we stay focused on the reviver, that revival will continue. But when we get distracted by what's going on in the revival, even if it's good, then it can kind of go off, right? So everyday revival requires us to be focused on who the reviver is. Amen? Revivals are not events. They are not tent meetings. They are not special speakers or pastors or worship leaders. Revivals are people and regions being revived by the reviver. All right? So where is the first place revival is mentioned in the Bible? It was when the tabernacle was running a 24/7 worship time, and the Israelites all loved to just come in every night into the tent and encounter God. They saw a lot of miracles, salvations. Someone's going to have to tackle me one of these days. That's not in the Bible at all. I was just trying to see if y'all were awake. That's not when revival was mentioned. In fact, that whole scenario would have been great, right? But that's not actually where revival is mentioned. I looked it up, and the word, now we've got revive in the scripture, okay? I don't want you to misunderstand me. But the word revival in that form is mentioned one time. Can you just say one time? And let me tell you, if it was going to be mentioned one time, it is the right context, because it is not mentioned in the context of wonderful unity. It is not mentioned in the context of, people all crying out in just joy and celebration and wanting to clear their calendars. It's actually crying out in bondage. Because what you don't realize is, in order to want revival, you need to know you need to be revived. Amen. And until we realize, you know what, my relationship, my idea of who I am, my heart for my region needs the reviver. And if you don't realize you need him, he can't come and do what he wants to do, because he says, ask and you'll receive. There's an awareness that's necessary. You following? So the only time the specific word revival is mentioned is in Ezra. And the cool thing is, it's connected to the house of God. So the context is, Ezra has just arrived in Jerusalem. He's been traveling, and he finds out that the Israelites have compromised themselves with the same sins that got them exiled. So now, after all they've been through, history is repeating itself again. Has history ever repeated itself in your life? Anybody come back around to the same mistake that took you out years ago and you're wondering, wait a minute, I thought I was better than this, right? Well, he's better than this, right? Last month's theme was Galatians 5. Christ has set you free, but what are you using your freedom to do, right? We talked all about that. Are you getting entangled again, or are you using it to serve one another? The Israelites had a terrible time with this. Ezra 9:8-9 says, I hope you have your Bible this morning. We're about to land in a scripture that we will be living in for a minute, all right? But we're just going to hop around for a minute more. But Ezra 9:8-9 says, that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a measure of revival, there we go, in our bondage. For we were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage, but he extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia. Mercy and revival go together. He extended mercy to revive us, to repair the house of God and to rebuild its ruins and to give us all a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. So that word revival means preservation of life. It means sustenance. And the root means to live. All right? It's pretty obvious what revival means there, but I just want to clarify it. Ezra is crying out to God here, and he's saying, in our bondage, let us live, preserve us, sustain us, not for our sake, but to repair the house of God and to rebuild the ruins of our city. In other words, let my home thrive so it can transform our city. It's our mission statement for this year, our vision statement, right? Thriving homes transform our city. God, revive me and transform the ruins of our city. Isn't that cool that the only time revival specifically is mentioned is in the context of not just for me, but for a region, right? It's never me focused. Tent revivals are spectacles. Ooh. Spectacular spectacles. How's that? Spectacles that draw thousands to be saved when they are Christ-centered. But we are the tabernacle of God. Did you know you are a tent revival? Right? You are a tent revival. Isn't that cool to think about? In the dictionary, it says that revival means a restoration to life, an instance of something becoming active or important again, an improvement in the condition or strength of something. So this month's key verse is in Deuteronomy. I don't know if we've ever had a monthly key verse out of Deuteronomy, but here we go, all right? Deuteronomy 6. And I think this is going to be 6-7. I shortened it a little bit, but Deuteronomy 4-7 is really good to look at if you're going to do a study on your own, all right? So Deuteronomy 6 says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them. Just say impress. On your children, talk or speak about them. Can you say talk? When you sit at home and when you walk, say walk. And when you lie down, say lie down. All right, we got to keep moving. You're all going to lie down. And when you get up, everyone say get up. There we go. We ended on a good note there. All right. When Jesus was on earth, he chose to walk over 3,000 miles. Now, I looked at a lot of studies because I didn't want to just throw some random mileage out there, all right? But it's at least 3,000. We're going to put it that way. That's about the distance, I believe, across the United States. Is that correct? I'm horrible with maps. That's a real confession. I'm glad I married my husband. But it's about like Jesus walked from New York to L.A., all right? That's kind of a cool picture if you look at the life of Jesus, because he does a lot of back and forth, so you don't really think of it that way. But he walked all that distance. Walking, lying down, getting up, being with kids, talking about God at home. How many have ever thought of walking, lying down, being with kids as kind of life's distractions? Anybody? You're like, if I could just get done with that part, then I can get to what I really want to do, right? But the life of Jesus shows us that even he lay down, even he hung out with kids, even he talked about his father at home and wherever he went, right? It's not a distraction. It's actually what our lives are made up of for thousands of years. And you'd think at this point, humanity would have gotten a little bit of a clue that maybe it's not a distraction. It's a gift from God. It's an opportunity, right? In your lifetime, you're going to spend, and again, I did a lot of research trying to get these numbers right, but they're probably approximate, 227,000 hours sleeping. Apparently, I didn't get enough to read that sentence, right? Some of us wish that we were going to get that many hours sleeping. 90 hours of your life at work, 78,000 hours of watching TV, 32,000 hours eating. I like that one. 12,000 hours cleaning. Let's be honest, some of us need to up our averages. That would be me. 4,100 hours at church. 4,100 hours at church. That's not probably including like special events or groups, but only 4,100 hours at church, 90,000 hours at work. Now, God can do more in 1 hour than you can apart from him, okay? So don't be like, oh, I guess I don't have to go to church. It's only 4,100 of my life anyway. It's more that if the 4,100 don't saturate and become everyday revival, then there's 90,000 hours that God is like, hello, I want to revive you in the 90,000. I want to revive you while you're sleeping. I want to revive you while you're watching TV. I want to revive you. I want to eat with you. He ate with his disciples so many times, it's written in the word. And I think that's because he knew how many hours we were actually going to spend eating, right? Are you following? And so every day we need a reviving. I love this because I started looking at the life of Jesus. Jesus showed us that the journey doesn't always look the same, but it's always moving forward. His journey began right at the beginning. If you think about it, before Jesus was even born, he was on a journey, right? Mary and Joseph, they had to go on a journey, right? And then there was a journey to escape political mess when he was just a kid. And then there was a journey into the wilderness alone with God. And then there was a first miracle at Cana after Jesus journeyed. Then there was a journey to Jerusalem for the Passover. He journeyed to the countryside. Back home, he journeyed to where he was rejected. From beyond the Jordan, he journeyed when his friend died, right? He just keeps journeying over and over and over again. And in fact, the last thing Jesus did on earth was he said, I'm going on a journey. And then what did he say next? I'm coming back on a journey. Jesus said that he overcame the world. He said, it is finished on the cross. But there is one thing he did not overcome, and it is life's journey. It is life's journey. He didn't overcome that. In fact, he said, I want to walk with you on it. And some of us have been trying to overcome life's journey instead of inviting God into the journey, into everyday revival. Your life is not a distraction from your calling. Your life is your calling because we are called to live in everyday revival. Does that make sense? This is so important because you can spend your whole life looking for the mission, looking for the purpose when God said, hey, in your lying down, in your getting up, in your walking, when you're home with your kids or with yourself or whatever season of life you're in, that's when he wants to be with you in everyday revival. Last month, I was praying and brainstorming into how to continue to unpack thriving homes. And I think this was like a 12:30 a.m. idea, which, you know, maybe, I'm sorry, I'm building the whole month off of it. So just hang with me here. But if you're married and you're pastors, you brainstorm in the middle of the night, which your spouse may not appreciate. But anyway, here we go. We are RVs. I said, you know, Brian, I think a thriving home looks more like an RV. And he's like, well, what does that mean? I'm like, I don't know, but I just keep seeing this picture of an RV because a thriving home is always moving forward. A thriving home is always taking the next step in your faith. A thriving home is a disciple. And a disciple means I'm going to keep taking the next step. Some of us here in this room are just starting out our journey with Jesus. Some of us could write books. Many books could fill the room right now with libraries of different topics you've been exploring with God. And the beautiful thing about church is we all come together for 4,100 hours in our lives. And we get to share our stories and we get to grow together. But if all we do is 4,100 hours, there's a lot of everyday revival that's missing out. There's a lot of depth that God is waiting. He says, deep cries out to deep. Right? We are revival vehicles. That's a Brian. I was like, Brian, what does RV stand for? And we're like, he's like, it's a revival vehicle. And then he thought he was kind of mortified. I actually based the entire month off of that idea. But Once I got a hold of it, I couldn't let it go because I thought, man, we are revival vehicles. What's a revival? A revival is reviving. It means I've got the reviver inside of me and I'm moving. Right? Jesus was a carpenter, and sure, he built a lot of things, but you know what? He could have built the most gorgeous cathedral that the world has ever seen with his hands, even with his words, right? He could have done anything he wanted, right? He's God. But instead, he took step by step for over 3,000 miles across our country, as if he could, right? Or Israel, back and forth, back and forth. Israel's the size of New Jersey. It's a lot of back and forth, right? He must have had a lot of patience to see the same thing. But instead of building a cathedral and saying, hey, everybody, come to me, even though he does say come to me, his way of saying come to me is I'm going to come to you, and then you're going to come to me. I'm going to step by step by step, because you are a revival vehicle. You're always moving forward, all right? You following so far? You are a vehicle for the life of God on earth. Anyone know the song, Life is a Highway? I don't know why, but whenever I try to sing in a sermon, I don't sing well, excuse me. But anyway, Life is a Highway, I want to ride it all night long, right? I think that's the word. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling. That word dwelling means tent. Everyone say tent. Among us. We have seen the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's John 1:14. Jesus was the first moving tent revival in Israel. He was the first revival vehicle, right? He didn't just pitch a tent. He said, I'm making my tent among you, and then we're going to walk, and we're going to walk it out. We're going to do everyday revival with the reviver. All right, so we're going to get really practical here, and amen. And so we're going to actually outline something here. Let's see if I can. Yes, it's not upside down. I was really nervous. All right. There are a lot of different ways you can see revival in your life. In other words, this is a very rich topic. You could spend the entire year, you could spend your entire life studying it. But today and this month, we're going to unpack 5 ways to see everyday revival in your life. That if you start doing these things consistently, you're going to notice some fruit in the Holy Spirit. All right? And we're going to land in Acts 2. So this is the time where you can get your Bible out, and we're just going to be here for the rest of the time. We literally have 2 minutes left, so we're going to be here very quickly. Just looked up at the time there. I need a bigger clock in the back. So how many have ever gotten a flat tire on your car? Right? It is horrible, right? I will never forget, we were at a conference, and Brian and Leah and myself, not sure, and we get a flat tire. We're in Pennsylvania. We're supposed to drive home. So Brian has one of those little, what do they call it? The little tiny tires? Donuts, right. He puts the donut on his car. His car was a little janky at the time. He puts the donut on the car, and we're like, we have a 3.5-hour drive. Do we do it on the donut or do we not, right? And we got some mixed advice. Someone was like, do it on the donut, just like get home. And I'm like, I don't want to drive on the highway on a donut. We didn't do it. But then we had to go Walmart, and we had to go to another Walmart just to get a stupid tire, right? If you get a flat tire in your life, it's really rough. So here's the deal. And I'm going to try and do this. I saw this in a leadership book that I just finished reading, and it was a really powerful way to visualize this as a wheel. Okay? So if these are spokes of a wheel, all right? And again, my drawing skills are just, I know, amazing here. All right. So if that's a spoke of your RV wheel, all right, remember, we're a thriving home, we're on wheels, we're moving in our lives. There are 5 different things: reading the Bible, generosity, community serving, and worship and prayer. And if you right now were to take an honest look at your life and say, what am I doing consistently? Where am I feeling kind of stagnant? Where am I completely ignoring one of these in my daily life? And if you were to kind of put a point, all right, let's just see here, and then you were to draw a circle, how do you think that RV is going to roll? Is that going to be a little bumpy? Might be a little of a bumpy ride, right? Some of us are having some bumpy rides in our lives, and we're wondering why. And it's because God is saying, you know, there's some things, there's some ways that I made for you to actually thrive, for you to walk in everyday revival, not out of religious duty. It's not a checklist. This is not an event schedule. This is not a church schedule. These are ways that we can actually get to know our reviver in our daily lives so that we can move forward and take the next step, just like Jesus did for 3,000 miles. Are you following? This is way more visual than I've ever tried to get in my life before with a whiteboard. So I hope this works. You can tell me if it didn't later. But just like a wheel, all of this can become dead religion without the breath of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, all right? So some of us are like, you know what? I can draw a perfect circle. I spend 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I can tell you what I tithe, right? Or don't tithe, whatever it is. And we've got a perfect circle. But you know what the problem is? It's completely deflated because we've completely neglected the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is the Ruach. He's the breath of God, and we want to honor the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God on earth with us, right? That's the only way this doesn't become dead religion, right? It's so important. So Acts 2, I'm just going to close on this. Therefore, let all Israel be assured. This is Acts 2, 36 through 47. Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all of them. And he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this is the birth of the early church out of revival, right? But what we actually see here is are a couple different ways that we can live in everyday revival. And I'm going to literally just list these very quickly. The next month, we're going to get into them, all right? So number one is reading the Bible. Acts 2:36 and verse 42 and then verse 37 to 38. Again, this whole section is what I'm going to be referring to. Reading the Bible. Revival comes by emphasizing the life of Jesus. This week's Bible study is on recognizing the gospel every day in our life. There is a hunger for the word of God, personally and corporately, in revival. And then there is conviction and repentance that transforms lifestyles. That's a notable sign of revival. Did you know a majority of followers of Jesus don't read the Bible today? I heard a survey done that's asked, they gave some words, and they said, is this a Taylor Swift lyric or is this the gospel? Whoa. Apparently most Christians thought the lyrics or in the Bible. All right? The only way we know the character and heart of God is to get into the Word. It's the only way. I don't care what you think you're doing. If you're not in the Word of God, you're not going to know His heart, and you're not going to be able to recognize it. And, you know, I've gone up to people, and they're like, Pastor Jordy did this actually on the Commons, and this girl was like, I don't believe in God. And Pastor was like, well, tell me about your God. And this girl starts describing God, and she's like, I don't believe in that God either. Right? I guess I'm an atheist with you if that's the God that you, that's not who I believe in. But how do you know that? By getting in the Word. Now listen, some of us are like, that means I need to religiously, you know, do this or that. Hey, it might be an audio Bible. Did you know that the Bible app that we do our devotional through sings to you? It's a little bit weird, but it does sing to you, all right? I'm just saying, you can read the Word. You can have the Word playing. We play it overnight in our house. There are different ways to get into the Word. There's also different ways to read the Bible, looking at the historical context, looking at the root words. When I preach on this, I cannot wait. I've actually been sitting on this message for a couple weeks on the Word of God, and we're going to actually get wet, all right? That should pique your curiosity. Not everybody, but I'm going to get a little bit wet when I preach that message, all right? Has something to do with the Word of God. Number two, worship and prayer. Again, all from Acts chapter 2. It shows a desire to pray and worship is stirred up in revival. There's usually more frequency in gathering to love Jesus. But this doesn't mean that we have a bunch of church activities all the time. This means in my home, I am frequently getting together with a friend, with my family, at work. During those 90,000 hours, lunch break looks different when I'm doing everyday revival. All right? And then God's presence is always with us, but during revival, there's some visible signs of it. There's miracles, and there's Holy Spirit is on the move, and you can kind of see it and feel it. Everyday revival, right? Number three, growing in community. Acts 2 shows there's more community during revival. And 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Lions hunt on the outside of the pack. So when you get all isolated, it's much more easier to get taken out by the enemy. That's why community matters, right? Yeah. Did I do prayer and worship? I did do prayer and worship, but I wanted to say something. When we talk about prayer and worship, we're actually going to look at the different words used for worship in the Bible. It's going to explain why we lift our hands, why we do a couple other things. It's really powerful. So worship is going to be a really great message. Generosity. Personal and corporate giving gets bigger during revival. And I'm not just talking finances, but again, like Pedro said, I want to pray for the government. I want to pray for the lost every day. I'm going to be generous with my time. There's a shift that happens in our heart in everyday revival. We give extravagantly in response to an extravagant God. That's one of our values here. God so loved the world, he gave. There it is. And number five is serving. People are called into ministry and missions, and a hunger for the lost to be saved is overwhelming when we're living in everyday revival with a reviver. If one person in our county is still lost and doesn't know God, I'm going to still clean that bathroom. Why? Because who's walked into a dirty place and you're like, I got to leave right now. I don't even know what they're serving. You don't want to go to a dirty restaurant, right? They could have the best food in the world, but I'm out, right? We want to serve, whether it's cleaning the bathroom, whether it's handing food out, whether it is whatever it looks like. Maybe it's serving in your home. You're in a season of life where you're like, you know what? With my schedule, serving looks like serving my spouse, serving my kids, serving my neighbor, serving my employer. Whatever it looks like, serving isn't an optional part. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. A thriving home is a revival vehicle, right? Everyday revival. So why don't you stand on your feet? Today was a little bit of an overview, and I actually rewrote this message a couple times because I knew it was going to be a mouthful, but I want you to remember, if you just remember one thing, is you are a revival vehicle, and the reviver lives inside of you. That Jesus died on that cross not to deliver you from the journey of life, but to walk with you on it. And we're all in different spots today. Taking a step in your journey is going to look different. Some of you are like, man, I hope she gets like deep enough in those topics because those topics look like Christianity 101. Some of you are like, whoa, I've never looked at that one that way before. All right, that's what makes church church, and I love that. And during this month, if you're looking for a deeper way of looking at some of these, let's talk, because we got more resources just than Sunday morning. But 101 changes everything. Everyday revival transforms our world. Thriving homes, taking the next step in their journey with God, transforms our city. So Jesus, right now, I just thank you that we are just taking a moment, a pause in the thousands and thousands of hours of our life. Maybe some of us are going home to do the 12,000 cleaning hours this afternoon. But God, we're still part of the 4,100. So Father, right now, we just thank you for the gift of revival. You asked Ezekiel, can these dry bones live again? And today you're asking, what do you want? What do you want? Do you want revival? Do you want to be revived in your life? What is dead that needs to come back to life? And God, if we were to look at this, where would we put our points? Or maybe we're just deflated and we need you, Holy Spirit, to come breathe on us. God, we want to be an RV that's moving. We don't want to be in the wrong RV camp, God. We don't want to be stuck on the side of the road. We want to be moving forward with you in life's journey. And God, the gospel is simple, but it is powerful. And it's so easy to neglect one of these areas because we think we've graduated. We think we have arrived. And we haven't arrived because, Jesus, not even you have arrived. You're still on a journey. So why do we think we're not? God, we say yes to the journey of life with you this morning. Whatever this season of life looks like, we thank you. This is not a checklist. This is not one more thing to add to our schedule. This is actually a way of living, and it's creative, and it looks different depending on our life season. But there is always a way to take the next step and to thrive, to grow. So show us this month how to live in everyday revival. Transform us, God, in any area of our life that we have neglected with you. And transform our city. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.